Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. We've titled Belshazzar and the Writing on the Wall. We will discuss the false accusations against the Word of God and also see a fascinating fulfilled prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah that took place in the sacking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, and how that's connected to our reading in Daniel 5, as we also see the beginning of the end of ancient Babylon as a world power here in Daniel chapter 5. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And we really appreciate the short notes sent by many of you. Not that they have to be short, but a lot of you just take a minute to drop us a line and tell us you're listening and learning and loving the Word of God. And we just thank you for taking the time to do that. And although we don't appeal for money, every once in a while I just feel like I ought to say thank you to those of you who do send in gifts to help us pay for this online ministry. It is a self-paying ministry, and we really appreciate that. We're a small church, just doing what we can to make the Word of God available free of charge to anyone with an internet connection. And we just want to send out our word of thanks to those of you who are supporting that effort. Now we join our study of Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. We've titled this Belshazzar and the Writing on the Wall. This is part one of two. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 5.
This one, yes.
And I'm going to sing the entire chapter. No, I'm kidding. But this is the story about Belshazzar. And we got this song from Brother Johnny Cash. I'm going to sing the song. I am not Johnny Cash, but it's a good song. Singing with the help of my sidekick here, my wife, Jenny. And I'm Kimo Sabi. Well, the Bible tells us about a man who ruled Babylon and all its land. Around the city he built a wall and declared that Babylon would never fall. He had concubines and wives. He called his Babylon paradise. On his throne he drank and ate, but for Belshazzar it was getting late. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. The people feast and drank their wine and praised the false gods of his time. All holy things were scorned and mocked, but suddenly all their mocking stopped. For on the wall there appeared a hand, nothing else, there was no man. But then the hand began to write, and Belshazzar couldn't hide his fright. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, no one around could understand what was written by the mystic hand. Belshazzar tried but couldn't find a man who could give him peace of mind. But Daniel the prophet, the man of God, he saw the writing on the wall. Belshazzar asked him what it said, and Daniel turned to the wall and read. My friend, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Your kingdom is divided, it can't stand. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your houses are built upon the sand.
All right, we're going to go through the first 12 verses of Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar and the writing on the wall. And I'll guarantee most of you have heard this story at some time. But there's some interesting information that I was never taught. Sunday school teachers and a lot of the preachers, they like to emphasize the more emotional things a lot of times. And so they miss some of the important faith-confirming things about these stories that we've grown up hearing. And hopefully, I pray that you'll get something out of the study tonight. Beginning in verse 1, read verse 1 with me. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now, first off, I can't tell you how many times I'd had this taught, and you just get this idea that it's a little gathering like we got here today. Just kind of a party somebody had at their house. But this wasn't just some little keg party. The guest list begins with 1,000 lords. You notice that picture we just showed? That massive hall. That's the kind of thing you're talking about. This was a massive gathering. 1,000 lords was just the beginning of the guest list. Those are the people who sat close to the king and were the inner circle. Another interesting thing about this story is that the critics claim an error in your Bible. They claim it's an error with the biblical claim that Belshazzar was the final king of Babylon. The fact is historical records don't say that. So this is one of those examples where you're going to have to decide, are you going to believe God's word or you're going to believe man's limited knowledge? I just want you to make note of this. You'll hear people say there's errors in your Bible. They'll say that the Bible information is wrong because it doesn't match historical information that we have. They'll say your Bible's wrong because it doesn't teach evolution, for example. Well, one of these days, everybody who's made that claim is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And that He is the Creator. And we're not here because the universe farted.
Amen.
And that's funny. I'm quoting a scientist when I say that. That's how they really believe that nothing exploded. The universe expelled. Some of the more sanctified brethren get a little offended with that F word. But the reason he called it a fart or flatulence, because the explosion resulted in gas. And that's why he made that comment about the universe. Nothing exploded, and the universe expelled gas. The gas is coming from the evolutionists.
Amen.
Not from the universe, and not from the Creator. But I'm just going to give you the short version explaining the background of why that's a false accusation against your Bible, and that is that there was a guy named Nabonidus. So you have Nebuchadnezzar and Nabonidus. And he was king, and he was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a couple of boys, a couple of sons, and they were morons. Not Mormons, morons. Some of you looked at me like, Close enough.
What's the difference?
It just, Mormonism didn't exist yet. That's the only difference. But Nebuchadnezzar's boys were stupid. And so Nebuchadnezzar couldn't let them rule. And so Nabonidus was appointed as king, his son-in-law. And I'm just going to say right now is that Stephen is, you know, my son-in-law, and he would make a good benevolent dictator in my place. But I just want, for the record, I don't think Charlie is stupid. I'm blessed with two boys that are really. That's really mean. You're going to hurt his feelings. You need to stop. So Nabonidus was king because Nebuchadnezzar's sons were idiots. And so Nabonidus, his son-in-law, became king. Well, Belshazzar was being raised by idiots. So Nabonidus adopted Belshazzar from his idiot father, who was one of the idiot sons of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nabonidus raises Belshazzar as his own son. Now, Nabonidus went on what we believe is a military expedition. And so he left Belshazzar reigning as king. Do you see how that works? In modern times, we would refer to Belshazzar as a regent king. Meaning that, well, I got the definition here from the online etymology dictionary. It says a regent is a person appointed to administer a state because the monarch is a minor, is absent, or incapacitated. So what would happen is if the monarch was appointed like King Tut, you remember the story of King Tut? And he had a regent who actually ruled for a while, and he didn't even really get old enough to become fully in charge before he died. And that's an example of that. Josiah, you remember Josiah? And he had a regent in the high priest until he got old enough to really call the shots. And in Nabonidus' case, he was absent. He was gone. And they didn't have, you know, cell phones and computers and Wi-Fi and internet. So while he's off 1,000 miles away, it would take weeks for his messages to get back and forth. And so there was no practical way for him to be on a military expedition and actually rule Babylon as king. So there's why he had Belshazzar ruling as king. Now, the final one there is he's incapacitated. And the year is 2017, and I try to make these messages evergreen. I try not to inject contemporary events to the point where someone watches this down the road and it doesn't mean anything, but I think this is of historic value that whenever, you've got liberals in this country, in the United States of America, seriously trying to make the case that Donald Trump is incapacitated mentally and should be removed from office. And if the Democrats were to take control of the Congress, they will try to impeach him. You mark it down. And if they do, look out. There's going to be trouble. I just want to tell you, what you're seeing in the streets from Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the KKK and what the white nationalists and all that, I got news for you. Those people are the equivalent of Nebuchadnezzar's idiot sons.
Amen.
But if they try to get rid of our president, there's a few million people who aren't idiots and are armed, and they will not let liberals take this president. You just mark it down. And if George Soros and these antichrists in this country want a civil war, that's how they'll get it. So pray about that, because I don't want to see it. So verse 2, we continue. Read that with me. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink the... Now, I got to tell you, you know, when I read that, I immediately feel sorrow. He's telling them to go get all the utensils that they took in reference to the destruction of Jerusalem some years back in 586 BC. This should immediately bring to mind the destruction of the Temple of Solomon. And all those things we were talking about last week, they're getting ready to build the third temple. And they've got all the artifacts. And they've got one place in glass. They've got this huge golden candlestick. And if you read back there in Exodus, it tells you exactly what it's supposed to look like. And they followed the Word of God and they made that made out of gold. There's three branches on one side, three on the other, and one in the middle. A branch and a knob, a branch and a knob. See, when you read that, that's what they're telling you. Branch and knob, branch and knob. There's three, six, one in the middle is seven. Now, that was one of the things that they took, along with golden cups and dishes and vessels that was used in the worship of the temple. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Kings chapter 25. And give you an example of why you want to read through your Bible from cover to cover. Because when you read this over in Daniel 5, you should have been thinking, now where is that? That whole story is in the Bible somewhere where they went down and took all those things out of the temple, Nebuchadnezzar, when he sacked Jerusalem. It's actually told in two or three different places. Different amount of detail. But in 2 Kings 25, beginning of verse 1, as you turn there, I'm going to start reading. It says, "And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah." So remember that. King Zedekiah is ruling as a... he was installed there as king, but he had become rebellious. And God had told King Zedekiah through Jeremiah, the prophet, and said, "Do what Nebuchadnezzar says. You're under the judgment. Do what Nebuchadnezzar says." And he wouldn't listen. So then in verse 3 it says, "On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land." Folks, and you just need to understand what this means. They were so hungry that they were eating their children. They were starving. And it was famine and disease was setting in. And it was as desperate a thing as you could ever read about in history. In verse 4, "And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees," this is the Babylonian, "were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain." Now verse 5, "And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him." And look what happens to King Zedekiah here. Verse 6 says, "So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah. And they gave judgment upon him." Read verse 7 with me. "And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon." Now you want to know what's so amazing about that? Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah had prophesied this would happen if Zedekiah chose to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah warned Zedekiah, follow me. I know some of you are tired from work all day, but I'm telling you, this is something you want to get. Because it's going to show you that this book is from God. And God's word is infallible and true, unlike man's word, which is useless. Amen. And Jeremiah 29, verse 21 begins, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name." See, just like I get up here and name names and tell you to watch out for these fake preachers, that's because that's what God's men do.
Amen.
They will warn you about the fakes and the liars.
Amen.
That's what Jeremiah does right here. What he says, "Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon." And what? "He shall slay them before your eyes." And what you just read in 2 Kings 25, verse 7, they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. And what did they do next? Put out the eyes of Zedekiah. How did Jeremiah know that they would first kill his sons and make him watch and then poke his eyes out? I'll tell you how Jeremiah knew that. Because God told him. And that's the only reason Jeremiah knew that. And folks, there are little turns of phrase, little facts, little tidbits of information throughout this book that is hidden to the careless, to the apathetic, to the lazy, to the distracted. All of us have to fight this. Listen, I'm behind on my Bible reading right now. I'm going to catch up. But I fall behind at times. We all get busy. Things happen. You know what you do? Sacrifice something else. Turn off something. Cancel something. I'm still doing the wedding, by the way. I'm not going to that extreme. But you've got to make it a priority to get through this book. Because if you don't, Satan is always going to hand deliver all the excuses you need to not read your Bible the way you ought to. Because that's how he's going to get you. If Satan's going to get you, it's going to be by keeping you out of God's Word. He's going to keep you ignorant. He's going to keep you unlearned in the Scriptures. And you won't even realize how stupid and foolish sometimes the things you're doing, because you are not full of the Word of God. And if you're not full of the Word of God, you're not full of wisdom. You're full of foolishness. Because that's our nature. Our nature is foolishness. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar went through what he went through in the last chapter. And that's why Belshazzar is where he is right now. Ignorance. They knew all about Daniel. Go back to Daniel 5. Daniel 5. Keep your finger in 2 Kings 25, by the way. Sorry. But in Daniel 5, we left off verses 3 and 4. "Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone." Now, back in 2 Kings 25, where we left off, in verse 8, it says, "And in the fifth month of the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem." Now, verse 9. Read that with me. "And he burnt the..." Wait a minute, are you there? Read verse 9 with me. "And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. He didn't do that because God is weak. He did that because God's people were in apostasy. God's people had walked away from God. And that's why God let the house burn. Verse 10 says, "And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But, verse 12, the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. So he took all but a handful." And look what it says here, verse 13. "And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon." You see what they're doing here? Look at verse 14. This is what we're reading about in Daniel 5. Verse 14. "And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away." That's what we're reading about in Daniel 5. Verse 15. "And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold and of silver and silver the captain of the guard took away." Verse 16, "The two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight." And on and so forth. The rest of the chapter 25. So we're reading in Daniel 5 about these things that were taken in 2 Kings 25, put in storage by Nebuchadnezzar. And now Belshazzar, in his ignorance of God's word, brings those things out so they can party and drink their wine out of the vessels of the temple of God. There's a whole lot there. But the bottom line is he's taking the temple utensils and offering the drinks and everything. He's basically toasting and praising false gods with the things made for the temple of God. And that makes you understand why God's bringing down the boom. There will be hell to pay, literally. And my tiny little voice that only goes out to several thousand people, most messages, we've had some go into the 10, 12,000 range, and we don't know how many here on radio and everything, but the message is loud and clear. America, all the dead babies bleed, and that blood is going to be paid for with your children and your children's children. The liberals, the adults in this country, some of them are already dead and gone and in hell. But they have created a situation where God in His justice, after the rapture, but I want to tell you, there's no biblical basis for believing it don't at least start before the rapture. The only thing the Bible says we don't face are the seals, trumpets, and vials. Let me put it plainly. There is no reason why some foreign army couldn't come through the United States of America and start killing Americans by the tens of thousands. That would not be the Great Tribulation, but all the YouTube preachers would tell you that's what it is, because they're ignorant. There is possibly plenty of bloodshed and judgment that could come to America before the rapture. But whether it happens before or right after the rapture, the blood of the innocent shed in America will
be avenged by a holy God. You want to know who he's avenging here in 2 Kings 25? And why Belshazzar has all those items at his disposal? Because the stupid, ignorant, apostate Jews were killing their babies and throwing them on the arms of Moloch. There will be hell to pay, literally. Back in Daniel 5, it says in verse 5, in the same hour came forth.